of where we left you last week. We had our guest speaker. She talked on prayer, and she brought it to you. You should have a prayer of togetherness that we can agree, or agreed prayer. Come on. Or binding prayers. And we pray that every morning, binding and loosening prayers every morning. Many of them are for you, because you're out in the field, and I know what it is to be out in the field. I know what it is for the kids to be in school. I know what it is to be on those freeways out of ours. Come on. Because I don't know what's wrong with California. We just can't drive. I don't know what it is. It's bumper to bumper for no reason except looky-loos, or someone that's just not being courteous to move over that the other person can get on from the off-ramp. How many agree to that? If you're out there, you know what I'm talking about. But we're going to go to 1 Chronicles. We're going to go to the prior testament, 16th chapter, because we're talking about being thankful. We've talked about what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is not a holiday emotion. It is a lifestyle of the Christian walk. It is, and we're not going to put it like this, but it should be, but it's a command, realistically, that we walk in thankfulness. We covered it a little bit last week at 1 Thessalonians. We talked about in everything that we are to be thankful, and all things we are to be thankful for, not because of things that, you know, with some of us don't make, some of us don't understand that he's not telling us to be thankful for those that are calling in sick. We've had some call in sick this morning, and I don't know if you missed them. I missed them, because I know that their week's coming, and they may need something here this morning. Just your smile helps someone. I don't know if you know that. Many have told us in our past, you blessed me. I go, how did we bless you? When you saw me and you waved and you smiled, I said, oh, wow, smile does that. Come on. Well, you're supposed to be smiling. Amen. Why? Because I have a reason for living. Why? Because I've been forgiven. It is an actual song. I twist the words around that use for you that know the song, but it is a lifestyle. And I've learned that in this lifestyle, because I don't know if you know this, God doesn't like complaining. He's against it. Because complaining lets him know that you don't know who he really is. Because if you know who he really is, then you know what he can do for you. You know what he's going to do for you. This is why he tells you, why are you worrying about tomorrow? Paraphrasing his word from the Gospels, right? Why are we so concerned about tomorrow when we haven't made it through today yet? He tells you, today's enough. Be thankful for today. He knows you got to go to work. He knows what you're going to face at work. He knows what you're going to face 5 years from now. He prepares you even now for those 5 years without you realizing it, without you understanding this is how good our God is. And I'm telling you, I've learned to grasp that. But if he says it today, it is not only for today, it's for my tomorrows to come, if he wills it. And thankfulness and being in a Thanksgiving walk, it does amazing things for you. It keeps your eyes focused. Say focus. And now watch. We're going to see this right here in 1 Chronicles 16th chapter, 34th verse. Prior covenant, right? It says, oh, give thanks unto my job, unto my career, unto my education, unto my location of my life, or my family. Ooh, quiet. No, it doesn't say that in the King James Version. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Watch this, though. For what? For his mercy endureth forever. We learned that in the prior 2 weeks ago, that this new day brought new mercy, brought new grace. So that means that if you failed yesterday, it remains there. Hello, somebody. Because I know that you are well aware. If you're not, you will not always walk in your perfection that God has called you to walk in. God, the Lord says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. What does that mean? I'm to be faultless? Yes. What does that mean? Am I to be shameless? Absolutely. I mean, am I to be made whole? Absolutely. Why? Because this is the God we serve. He makes us this way, but this is why He had to send a Son. This is why we realize that the message of the cross is the most important message you'll ever have to learn. Come on, somebody. Why? Because they right where they're staying here, you do not understand why it was written in the Chronicles. And this is the writings of those that endured, those of the past kings, those of the past prophets. These are the writings of them. Because if you and I were living in those times, we wouldn't have made it. Because these are the writings of those that didn't have a Holy Spirit of God living in them. This is why the message is so important of the resurrection of Christ. It's so important that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God and His evidence that is with it about a new language. And it's so important to understand of that why God sent the cross. Because here in these writings, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. It's because those that were in that time zone, that who is writing to this, these First and Second Chronicles are going to go to the beginning. This is going to go back to Genesis. How many know Genesis had a lot of issues? The beginning had a lot of issues. Come on. Would you not think that there was a problem with Adam and Eve already? Hello? What was the problem with Adam and Eve? The disobedience came because of their eyes. Somebody's eyes were taken off the promises of God. What were promises of God? You have this whole garden. All this earth is yours. However, don't touch what belongs to me. This is my tree. This is my fruit. Do not touch it. But then there came an enemy of ours. How many know who the enemy is? They're not sitting next to you. They're not on your job. They're not on the streets. Hello, somebody. They weren't in our school as we just heard the testimony. Who is our enemy? The enemy that was there in the garden is the same enemy that's out here today. The enemy that comes and puts words where they shouldn't be. And it shouldn't be with the New Testament church, because we're the New Testament church. Say amen, somebody. We have the actual written word of God. We have the ability and the freedom to live in the actual word of the living God. And we have the directions and desires of the actual living God. And it's in us. This is what's wrong with us today, that we don't realize who we are. Because if you did, you would become who you are because of whose you are. I know that for an experience. Come on. But the writer is writing because give thanks why His mercy endureth forever. And this all started in the garden because of the lie about what shouldn't been touched got touched. And how many know the Lord says, touch not the unclean thing? How many know that word? It's in the written word of God. And how many of us touch the unclean things? How many of us have walked perfect all our life? Raise your hand. I'd be arrogant to keep it up. Come on. But how many know that I'm perfect today? Because I know who I am. See, you don't know the actual word perfect, that word, what is written in the word of God. Because it's written in the word of God, be ye perfect, be ye perfect, be ye perfect. Complete is the actual word. How many are complete in Christ this morning? Oh, give thanks now. Why? Because His mercy endures. If you failed yesterday, you're here today. Thank the Lord for His grace and mercy. This is the attitude. We heard it, the gratitude. We're going to talk about the gratitude next week and what it actually does for you. It's amazing what it does for you. What it does for your emotions, for your lifestyle, and the will of God that should be running in us. So He's saying, oh, give thanks. And you're going to, if you don't know this, you're going to find it all over the book of Psalms. King David is the most closest to God at the prior covenant. Did you know he's one of the closest ones? The other ones actually got taken and walked. Moses disappeared in the grave somewhere. Nobody can find him. Nobody knows where he's at. Come on. Nobody knows. Enoch walked perfect with God. He walked perfect with God. Can't be done. He walked perfect with God. That he walked with God. Say amen, somebody. And God just took him away. And the other one was Elijah. Got taken away. And they weren't perfect. I'm telling you. It's you thinking, as I think, as how we see things. But we just know that he is the Lord God. And his mercy endures forever. Watch this. Let's go to the book of Psalms real quick here. Psalms chapter 9. Let's listen to this. In the heart of transitioning that we're talking about. And now this is a psalm that is written of King David. And if you don't know his journey, he always had to run and hide. His journey began in with the sheep, taking care of sheep as a young man, you know, while the other brothers got to do what they did with mom and dad and everything. Have you ever felt like the black sheep? Have you ever felt like that? Let me tell you what, my family, how we were raised, we were the black sheep of all our families, my family, because of who my mom married. Hello. And I thank the Lord because today we're the swan. How many know what that means? When they need something, who do they call? They don't call Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters doesn't show up. And even though we don't want to show up, guess what? We go because we're going to go show the mercies and the goodness of God. Oh, you didn't hear that. Psalms 9, verse number 1, to the chief musician upon Mithlubin, a psalm of David, I will praise thee, O God. How am I going to praise you? With my whole heart, I will show forth of all thy marvelous work. Verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. I will sing praise, O my high. How am I going to react? You don't realize that when this is one of his moments, he's hiding in the cave. He's running from the one that he actually assists, one, the king that who was troubled. And when he was troubled, David would have to come and pray just by the harp he would play, it would bring deliverance. How many deliverance comes? How many know you're to bring deliverance to people's lives? How many know who you really are and what it takes? You don't even have to say any words. Just the presence of God can bring a deliverance. It can change the atmosphere. But you have to be in the rightfulness of Almighty God. Your heart has to be right. Giving what? Praises. I will praise thee, O Lord, on verse 1 again. With my whole heart, not half the heart, not a quarter of a heart, but my whole heart has to be thankful. I have to be walking in this, what God calls me. And you know what? How many already complained what we're going to eat today? I mean, already saying, I don't know what we're going to eat this morning. Instead of saying, man, I thank God, I'm going to have so many choices to go eat today. Come on. Do you want the 2 for $1.99 over here? Or do you want the 3 for $10.99 or $9.99? Now they're dropping their prices. Hello? With that, what are you eating if they're dropping the prices? Hello? The Bill Gates synthetic food that he's processing out there? Huh? Because you know we like it. We like it in 30 seconds or less. You like the Burger King style? I can't stand Burger King style. It always fails. They never get the order right. Hello? And they get mad if you bring it back. Well, I'm mad that's why I don't go back. You guys are missing this. Oh, Lord, he says, because I will praise thee. Why? I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise in verse number 2. Thy name, O thou most high. Does anyone have any reason that we can thank God this morning? That's what he's saying. I give you the praise. Why? You brought us out. You're bringing us through. It was a tough week for us. We got called to the hospital on Tuesday morning that my nephew is shutting down. I go, he's too young, God. That's not your word that we stand on. If you're here on Wednesday night, you would hear these things already. You know, we come on Wednesday night to study the Word of God. Hello, somebody. But I got the text this morning. He's doing well. He's not complete, but he's well. He's exactly where he needs to be right now. Why? Because nobody knows this. What he was. He was shutting down. He was in that mode. He was in this place. Even when we were there, the father came out crying because he died. It sounds he just died. I go, what do you mean? I just prayed for him. There's no way he could have died. Come on, somebody. No way. I said, talk to me. What are you talking about? You got everybody. Everybody's crying. And I wanted to cry too, but I said, Lord, I can't take their cry because I don't know the truth. I came to praise you. I come to exalt you. I come to do be glorified. And these, I'm going to tell you what, they're all in church. God has answered our prayer. They're in church. Some are in ministry. But they weren't letting nobody in. The only reason he knew, he snuck in because the door opened on that intensive care unit. And it even got worse after that, you know, because I know what I prayed. They let me in as a pastor. Come on. I use my authority. I'm a pastor. It's my nephew. But here's my credentials. What credentials? I don't have any. Then I mean, hang on. I don't even know where my certificate is. That doesn't mean nothing. This is a piece of paper. Come on. Some of you know that about your marriages. It's only a piece of paper. The rest is all you live it and prove it and walk in it. Come on, somebody. False report came out. And what the worst part is that you got to be careful what you hear. I would rejoice and be glad. I said, no, that can't be, Lord. I can't take that cry. How many know what I'm telling you right now? He's only 40-some years old. We've been praying for him. He made it through prison when he should have never been in prison because he wasn't one of those guys. But he decided to go that route. This is why God took us out of. This is why we fight for them. Come on. Are you fighting for somebody? Then rejoice this morning that God will hear your cry. Why? Because it's his word. Somebody say amen. And then we go back with the brother, not the father. Everybody's emotional. They're crying. I said, no, I'm troubled now. How many know what that means? This is not your word, God. This is not what prayer you asked to pray. This is not what we talked to him about. Whether he could hear me or not doesn't matter. God hears me. That's what matters. How many know that when you get called like that, God needs to be the one that hears you? And he'll hear you. Why? Because you're his son. You're his daughter. And when you say his name, he says, here I am. Hello. And so I walk over there and I said, come on, brother, just walk over there. And I started cheering him up a little bit. I said, you know, because the first thing everybody started saying in Christianity, like you and I say, we're in a win-win, right? You heard this on Wednesday, right? You that know win-win? No, I'm not in a win-win. I want the win. What that means, I'm here now. I'm not in heaven. Heaven always gets the win. We need the win on earth as it is in heaven. No, Jesus, help me here, somebody. And so he goes on. And so finally, somebody comes out to talk to us. And the worst part, at that whole time, they call it a cold blue. I mean, you know what a cold blue is in the hospital. And then they tell the one I'm with talking before we got there, he goes, that's for your brother. So whatever his dad said, oh, he must have died on the table, you know, late, not on the table, but late. Late. And I said, no, God, that can't be, God. It just can't be. I'm troubled. So we can't go and we can't hear nothing. We don't hear nothing. And all of a sudden, the nurse that recognized me while I was in there talking to him, because I was in there talking with him. Come on. Several nurses watched me. They brought me a chair for I can sit down and talk with him, praying in my language too. You know why? Because I don't need no devil to know when I'm praying. I don't need no devil to hear what I'm asking my Father in heaven for. Come on. I'm a representative. And plus, I'm the eldest of our family. And I'm the pastor of the family, they call me. They all go to different churches. I don't care. My job is done. You got saved. It's on them now to raise you. Come on. You sit in my church, though, you're in trouble. Because I don't believe in drinking. I don't believe it's God's will that we drink. I can prove it. But you go to a church of moderation, you go for it because I'm not going to answer for you. My job is done. Hello? I can prove it. But I'm not here to fight you. I'm not here to fight them. And the nurse comes out. He says, I got to take this blood sample. I go, what are you taking a blood sample for? He's going to go get this. For what? He didn't make it. In my mind, that's what he said. Because what we heard, they're crying out there. I said, oh, no, he's doing good. His vitals are great. I said, what? Yeah, we called cold blue because he was having a hard time breathing. And so cold blue causes things to get sped up to help his breathing, to intubate him. But he's doing good. He's resting. I go, shut up. And I look at my nephew, see? You need to go tell your father what the world, that kind of report did you just bring us? How many know what I'm saying? My heart was not able to rejoice because that was a bad report. And that's what Satan does. He brings you a bad report to take your praise. And if he can take your praise, he's got you exactly where he wants you. Because you giving a praise of all situations is letting everybody know around you and letting the devil know, God's got my back. God's got this and I'm trusting in you. Come on, somebody. 1 Corinthians says this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians real quick, like the 15th chapter. I'm thanking the Lord this morning. How about you? Because this morning my wife was telling me all the options I'm going to have for lunch. Wow, I get options today. Come on. It's amazing. Because that's how good God is, right? He didn't wait till I was in church. He let me know before I come to church. And I already know what I want. But I got to make sure she's pleased with that. Come on. That's for me. What does she want? I got to ask the Lord, what does she want? Is she okay with that, God, or is she going to want me to take her out? Because I'm good either way. Just provide. Come on. Because she did all the cooking, not me. I just do all the eating. All right. Some of you need some better humor than that. Now, why should I walk this way in this lifestyle? Well, 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, King James Version, 57th verse. But, say but. Okay, that's okay. Let's do it right. However, how you like that? However, right? But thanks be to God. Why? Which giveth us, who? Us, say us. Better yet, say me. God gives me the victory. Come on, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, he gives you what? This is why you need to walk in thankfulness, because you're letting God know that in me, he's bringing me victory. Come on. We sing the song, I got the victor living in me. We say, come on, you don't believe it. You're just lip singing then. But if you sing it from the heart, like we just heard, from the heart, from my whole heart, and we're talking about a transitioning to a good, thankful heart. Some of us, you know, you ask for God, and like we heard the testimony, right? You'd rather be home. I'm with you 100%. You didn't have the luxury to be taken off in the company truck and going to be with church family, eating lunch with church family, right? But thankful that I'm here. And you're not alone. You probably spoke for half the people in God's church around our world. They'd rather be at home, because I'd rather be at home when I should be at, could be at home. Come on. I don't want to hear all this. I don't want to take up with all this, but they know I got God. But thanks be to God, church. Thanks be to God. Say thanks be to God. Why? Because he gives me, you put me, you make it personal, because God is personal. You're his son, you're his daughter. Make it personal. Abba, it's you and me, our father. It's you and me. Abba, I need you. I thank you that you're with me. I thank you you've given me the victory, because even though I can't see it. Oftentimes, this is why it's important that you understand the cross. The cross, you understand, is the worst looking position of victory. There's a bleeding out man on that cross. There's a man that was suffering. There was a man in pain. Your pain is on that cross. Suffering is on that cross. Your bleeding is on that cross. He was lonely. Nobody was up there with him. Now, there was two other, but there was no one with him. Where was his father? His father turned his back on him. He had to. So your rejections are there. He was dealing with rejection. That's why he said, why have you forsaken me? He's dealing with our rejection because he knew that we are going to deal with it more today than ever in this in these 2,000 years, 1900s, 2000s that we're in. He knew we were going to deal with rejection more than ever. But he took it on the cross. This is why it's important you know your place. That's why he said, pick up your cross. You're not going to take his sufferings. You're taking his victories. Your victories of what you deal with. The victories of your bad decisions. Your victory, say, bad decisions. Because we all make them. Come on, we even said, I do. And I should have said, no way, Jose. Come on, somebody. Because we all have done that. He already knew that. This is why he said, pick up your cross. And then he says, follow me. Why? Because I'm your victory. I'm your provider. I'm your healer. Come on, I'm your healer. Somebody say amen. But thanks be to God again on verse 57 of 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Thanks be to God which giveth us. Look, he already gave us. Just walk in your victory. It doesn't look like victory, is it? But walk in it. Thank you, Lord. Walk in it. It looked like it's failing. Thank you, Lord. That report, man, what do you mean he died? God, that's not you. I could have gave in. I wanted to give in because I start getting a little teary eye. That's my nephew. I'm fighting for him. He's not. Well, you didn't get shit. I pray that if you face this in the weeks ahead, that you learn that what I just told you. Because if God said this, don't let nobody change it. Because he said it. We believe it. We stand on that word. Come on, somebody. 1 Timothy. I'm going to do some scriptures real quick, like, because I got three choices for lunch. 1 Timothy chapter 4. What do you need? Why should I walk in goodness? Why should I walk in this understanding and in mercies of God? Why should I be like this and be thankful? Because God wants you to know. Say, he wants me to know. No, say like you mean. He wants me to know. You're talking about the Almighty Living God. You're talking about the one that created the heavens and the earth. You don't recognize how great this God is. We're seeing how great is our God. Come on, somebody. And we don't understand his goodness, his mercy. We don't understand how huge our God is. But first, going to first book of Timothy, chapter 4. And it says this like this. On verse number 4, because he wants you to understand. He wants us to recognize it too. He says, for every creature. Who? Who's every? That means you and anybody else out there. But mainly, he's talking to us this morning. He's not talking to the church up or down the street, around the corner from us. He's talking to us in this church about who we are, to understand who we are, to understand, to accept that we are. I've made it this far without no backing of no one except the Almighty Living God. And I'm telling you, we have stories. People said, put it in a book. They don't need a book. They have the book. It's already written. What they need is the example. But you don't have examples because they're here today, and next week they're at the next church over there. The following week, the moment they find something that's uncomfortable, they run. And God never called runners. He called warriors. Come on, we're soldiers. We're going to endure. Come on. Why? Because he enlisted me. Hello, somebody. For every creature of God, listen to this, even you, John, is good. So give me your worst one. And I know, you don't know. You watch out for your heart because you're going to be tested. We know where we came from. We know there are several things you never did or do. Come on. Don't get to a place where God allows that test to come and you're not ready. Because when you're not ready, especially if it's about my kids, don't you look at my kids. Hello, they're not perfect. Come on, but they're complete. But they got a mama and a daddy who serve God. You talk about them, you're talking about us, you're talking about God. Watch out. As they were saying in the word, brother, trucha. Hello? Because somebody's got my back. And if they got my back, they got my kids back. And they got my grandkids back. And they got, now I got grandkids, great-grandkids. Come on. We're great-grandparents. I thought we were good, but he's making us great. Thank the Lord. For it's good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. See, this morning I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for everyone that has come through these doors. Many, I should have a mega church like I told you. I just can't give in to the ways. I'm not going to give in. I'm sorry. And I beg God, if it's me, change me. Change me. But the prophecies that came in the beginning of my early journey said that he was going to do what he's going to do, but do not change. And I have fought that because I want to change. I can make your life so simple. Oh, God's okay. Yeah, he understands you. Yes, you know, psychology. Yes, it's always somebody else's fault. You made the decision, but it's so-and-so's fault because they said you look ugly, so you decided to take your life. And not realizing that suicide, according to the word of God, is murder. Not understanding, I don't know why I'm going here. Don't try to take your own life, because in his word it says, murderers will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm not judging no one. I'm speaking the word of God. But I know today that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. That's why I don't believe at one time that they don't deserve God's grace and mercy, but who am I? I'm not God. He had grace and mercy on me. He's had grace and mercy on you, and we didn't deserve it. Hello? We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But he's good to us. Because that's a good, good. We heard it this morning. Good, good. Oh, give thanks. Good, good Father. Amen. They don't know what I'm speaking. I don't tell them. I don't line my word with their song and their song with my word. I never do that. But I know he's the great I am. Come on. He's the one. Say he's the one. Right? Of God is all good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. I am thankful for salvation this morning. I'm thankful for healing this morning. I am thankful for provision this morning. I'm thankful that he has closed some doors. I'm thankful that he opened some doors. I'm thankful that he knows that I'm trusting in him in all things. Because the word of God tells us in the book of Proverbs, right? Trust in the Lord. I'm on chapter 3. Trust in the Lord, right? In all and for all. Come on. I'm trusting the Lord. Say amen, somebody. I trust it for you without you realizing it. The moment you came a part of us or somebody that's near us or somebody that knows you, we grab that, we put it in the name of Jesus. Come on. Colossians. I hope you're getting something out of this morning. Chapter 2. Well, I know Robert is. He said amen. I mean, you know that your pastor should know you by your name. Come on. What do you mean? I can share you right now that Jesus, of the 5,000 he fed, he knew them. And those were males, men. He knew their name. Why? Because he's God. We should know their name. A majority of big churches today don't even know who their sheep are. Come on, let alone you could talk to them. Hello? If Jesus let somebody touch him, who are we that they can't touch us? Oh, come on, you need some help out here. Colossians chapter 2. A couple of verses I want to read there. Man, my finger's too big. It touches the other book. That was in Philippians 2. This is for you. This is for me. This is for everyone. Because we're in that transitioning. God's transitioning your hearts. See, he heard the heart. The testimony went perfect. Both of them, perfect. Come on. Javergi, why? Because we started in prayer the morning. There's a gun in school. Hello? He saw my heart. And now he's standing before you, interviewing you. That was him. Why? Because you want to get busy? We're going to get busy. You want to get busy? Ask the Lord to use you. Ask him to use you here. See what he'll do for you. Come on, say it, man. And you watch what he's going to do. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. He's talking to us now. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so you walk in him. How are you supposed to walk? How are you supposed to walk, church? He didn't say with him. He said in him. Oh, see what the problem is? Come here, get up for a minute. Come on, follow me for here. I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you how good he is to you. See, we're walking with none. I'm not walking in her. She's not walking in me. We're walking with. Come on, thank you. Thank you. You didn't catch that, did you? See, most of us want to walk with him, but he said, walk in me. Come on, how many understand that? When the writer of 1 John said in chapter 4, greater is he that's in. We're in, not with, in. How many realize he's in us? And he's the one that provides gratefulness and thankfulness. Why? Because this is his word. He wrote these words for us. He pinned in by using examples of all those that came before us. Just like he's going to use you where you came from. For what was meant for evil, he's going to turn into his good, your good. Because you will be that in your thankfulness. He will use that to use it for those. Because those are in need of who you really are once you know who you are. He walks in you. Oh, you're missing this. Help me, Holy Spirit, help us. Watch this. So you walk in him. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and stabled in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, you're not going to like this for a minute, but it's okay. The reason you can't walk in it is you're not established. You're not built up. Your foundation is on the sand. When he told you, build it on the rock. Come on. You're not rooted. You're not built up. And you're not established. You don't have the teachings. You're all over the place. I've told you in my life, there's only two churches I've ever known, and I had a right to leave the first church I was in. But I didn't. I held on until God says, it's time for you. Got the permission to go. And I wasn't even satisfied with that. I went to what we called our grandfather church, my pastor's pastor. I didn't want this. I don't want this, God, but I'm not of my own. But if you see it and this is what you will, let's do it. And I thought everything was going to be peachy keen. Hell broke loose. And I said, oh my God, I don't pray this on anybody. So if you wake up and say, I want to be a pastor, you better know what you're asking for. You think it's easy? Ask all those that have been with me how many times I've thrown the keys and said, I'm done. I don't have to deal with this, Lord. I'll never give God up. I won't forget. Trust me. While we've been, I'll leave the church. I'll leave family, I'll leave whatever people call me friends, but I won't leave God. I'm taking him wherever I go because I will not make it without him. But I need to understand, I have received Christ, so have you. You should become rooted, you need to become built up, and you need to be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. You can't abound with thanksgiving because there's no rootedness in you. You're going to be thankful for right now because we're telling you, but you're going to go out the door, and there you go. Husband and wife are going to disagree. They're going to say, and he just taught you to be thankful. Well, he taught you to be thankful too. Right? Oh, help me here, Jesus. Closing you with the book of Psalms. One more minute. Psalms 136. It's quiet in here. Closing you out with this. Why? Because we began it. We began it in Chronicles. Again, verse number one, Psalm. Again, the psalmist reiterating to us. Again, coming to us. And this is not the only time. We can go many times over before we get here to 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Number 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. Come on, church. He covered all areas right there. Because there are gods in our world. There are lords in our world. Come on. But there's only one true God. Hello. There's only one true mercy. In our world today, there's only one true grace. And that grace saves us. For by grace we are saved, said the book of Romans to us on the 10th chapter. Right? Verse, it's there. Find it. In this test that I'm about to tell you, in this test I'm going to put into you is, are you really thankful for the God you serve? Because if you are, I'm going to ask you, if you're thankful, I'm going to ask you, come up to the front. Put me a music on. I don't know what you can put me. In fact, if you can play the guitar, because that's quicker, that'd be better. Just strum me something. I don't need songs. I just need some stringing. You see, because we need to show our God this morning that I am thankful to him. Dear, I love that he ran up there. Most of us should have ran up there. Get out of the way. I'm going to be first up there. Why? Because I want my God to know that I am thankful to him. You can strum whatever you like. Gratitude would be a good one, because we need some gratitude in God's house.